Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. It's Friday, which means I'm opening up the mailbag. Got a bunch of questions, great questions, about TPE targets, how to fix the defense, and of course, James Wiseman. Can't go a week without having to talk about James Wiseman for some reason. But let's start with this question from Deepak Narwal, who writes in, any possibility of the Warriors pursuing John Collins of the Hawks for the traded player exception? Now, I got this question. I answered it in my mailbag article for mercurynews.com, and you could check out a more in-depth version of that there. But I want to just explore the idea of John Collins. And look, I talked to some people around the Hawks. They don't believe that Atlanta would be willing to move Collins to the Warriors simply to go up from the sixth spot in the draft to the second spot in the draft. And that's really the idea here, right? Is you package the number two pick plus that $17.2 million trade exception to trade back, acquire the Hawks' number six overall pick plus a good player such as John Collins. Now, the Hawks may want to move off of John Collins this offseason. That is possible, okay? He is due for a rookie scale contract extension this summer, or this offseason, I should say. And he may not fit with Clint Capella, who they acquired at the trade deadline. Now, he could, but he may not be the long-term answer there, especially because they've invested so much in DeAndre Hunter, who they drafted last year and moved up in the draft last year to get, and he projects mostly as a four. So if they're going to play small that way, then it would make sense to have DeAndre Hunter playing that position. Now, I still don't know that they'd be willing to move Collins for that. It seems to me that you can move John Collins for more than moving up four spots in a draft that you may not really like anyway. The only way the Hawks do that is if whoever's there at number two, they are so enthralled by, and look, they like I said, they have a tendency to do that. They were in love with DeAndre Hunter. They probably overspent to move up in the draft last year to go acquire and draft DeAndre Hunter. So unless something like that happens again, it's probably not what's going to happen. All right, so that's from Atlanta's perspective. But let's just say that it is an option for the Warriors, okay? My problem with using the traded player exception in conjunction with the draft pick to acquire one player is that it's not a really great allocation of resources. There is an opportunity cost there. The TPE and the draft pick are two separate assets with which you can acquire two separate players. To package them together to get one player instead of two, it's not enough to just ask yourself, is that player good and would that player be a good fit for the Warriors? But the real question you need to ask yourself is that player better than getting two players? That's the question you need to ask. And in the case of John Collins, you do have to wonder, is having John Collins better than getting two separate players? A player with, you know, presumably high upside with the number two pick in the draft, a pick the Warriors have not had in more than a decade, plus whatever you can get with the TPE by itself. Now, the type of player you're getting, if you're just absorbing a contract versus attaching an asset to it, is a very different player. But let's say that Rudy Gay is an option, okay? He's one that's out there. It's feasible. Kelly Olynyk from Miami. It's a name that's out there. It's feasible. Would you rather have whoever you picked with number two plus a proven rotation player like Rudy Gay or Kelly Olynyk or John Collins? That's a real question that's worth asking. Now, John Collins is 22 years old. He's got tremendous upside if you believe in him. He could play the four or the five for you. He is a three-point shooting threat. He shot 40% on 3.6 three-point attempts per game last year. He could space the floor for you. The Warriors are going to need three-point shooting next year. He can also finish at the rim. Like I said, he could play two different positions for you. You can easily picture him playing next to Draymond Green in the front court. You could play him or Green at center. That makes sense. Offensively, it makes sense. Defensively, I have questions. John Collins is not a good defender. He doesn't defend the center position particularly well. He's a little slight, and he doesn't defend the perimeter particularly well because he's not that quick-footed laterally. So if you were to play, so when you are talking about using these assets together, investing a lot between the TPE and the number two pick to acquire a player, that player better be a part of your closing lineup. I don't know, and like I said, offensively it's easy to see Collins a part of the closing lineup. Defensively, I don't see it. Because if John Collins is your fifth guy, you have two proven defenders in that closing five. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, period. And we still don't really know what Klay Thompson's going to look like after this knee injury. But I assume he'll be okay. You have two above average proven defenders in that closing five, where in the past you had four high-level defenders plus Steph Curry, who you could argue is below average. I would argue is about average at his position. He tries hard. His communication is good. I think he is a positive net impact on the defensive end, at least for a point guard. But let's just not even give him the benefit of the doubt, and you just say you have four proven defenders in your closing five. That is a big difference. And that was the key for why that lineup worked. You can sacrifice Andre Iguodala being a non-factor on offense most nights because he was so good on defense. And Andrew Wiggins and John Collins are good on offense, but they're not that good to overcome the defensive issues. You need to be able to lock in the final 2 to 4 minutes of a game. And if all you have is Draymond Green and Klay Thompson to throw at the other team, I don't trust it. Maybe Andrew Wiggins turns the corner and really is a consistent defender in Golden State. Okay, you've got three. That's better. But you still have Steph Curry and John Collins that other teams can attack and pick and roll over and over and over again. And that can be a problem, especially in the playoffs. So again, when you look at John Collins as a potential option for the TPE, and I hear that name thrown around a lot, from people who I think are very smart too. I mean, not just, you know, it's not just Reddit threads that I'm seeing this pop up. If you're Bob Myers and the stakes are high and you're trying to make the most out of this championship window, you can't frivolously go ahead and acquire John Collins and just hope it works. You need to project forward. You need to look at what that closing lineup would be, exactly what the rotation would be with John Collins in it, and the opportunity cost presented with it. And so I think John Collins is a nice player. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's right for the Warriors at that price. Let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. And that's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy, and it fills me up while I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low-carb diets. I travel all the time for work, when, you know, in a normal circumstance, pre-pandemic and hopefully post-pandemic. I always have Built Bars with me. I keep them in my bag. For, you know, when you're rushing to the airport, when you're on the plane, you don't want to, you know, go grab a sandwich or something that's bad for you. Instead, you just have one of these. You're not going to ruin your diet. You're not going to feel terrible after. It's going to keep you going. It's going to refuel you, and it's going to keep you full until you're able to really sit down and have a proper meal. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So go do that quickly. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Remember to tune in every Tuesday for Target Tuesdays when we break down a new off-season target in depth each week. This week, Charles T. Hamilton and I scouted LaMelo Ball. You can find that in the show feed by subscribing to Locked On Warriors. Let's get to this next question from Jeremy Friedrichs, who writes in, James Wiseman really concerns me. It seems like centers drafted first overall are very high in the last few decades, don't contribute to winning teams in year one. None of the last eight or so champs have had dominant centers either. Do you think the Warriors should pass? I'm not going to get into what the last eight or so champions had as far as centers are concerned. I would say that Chris Bosh played center for the Miami Heat, and he was elite. You can even argue that Draymond Green, when it really mattered, played center for the Warriors, and they were elite. But as far as a traditional center is concerned, yeah, I think that's a correct statement. You're not seeing traditional centers participate for championship caliber teams anymore. I mean, even, I guess the last one you could say was Tim Duncan, but that's what we're talking about, an all-time player, right? And you could even say, I mean, people say he's a power forward. He's the greatest power forward of all time, even though, you know, late in his career, you'd argue he was certainly a center. So I don't know. You can look at these playoffs right now. Rudy Gobert is getting, you know, played off the floor. Or he was. You know, traditional centers don't have as much of a place. The Houston Rockets don't even have one. But as far as what James Wiseman can do in year one, and I have this reputation for being anti-Wiseman, all these things, I'm not. I say it over and over again, I'm not anti the 19-year-old kid. I actually really respect him for saying, screw the NCAA, I'm walking out on this, and calling out really the hypocrisy of college basketball. I have nothing but respect for him in that decision he made. That said, I just don't think he's a fit for the Warriors. That's it. It's just him as a player and his fit within the context of what Golden State needs. I don't think he makes any sense for the Warriors at number two. And there's a lot of reasons, and I go into it, I think, every week, but here's something I haven't talked about before. Golden State's defense was one of the worst five in the league. They were ranked in the bottom five in defensive rating this last season, okay? Now, that bottom five type defense is going to be bad at everything as far as limiting three-point shots, limiting shots at the rim, and everything else in between. But the rim protection wasn't nearly as much of an issue as guarding the three-point line this last season. Golden State allowed the 20th most points at the rim in the league. Now, when you consider that they were the 26th worst or the 25th ranked or whatever it was defense in the league, that's weirdly an improvement. Like, against the average of their defense, they were actually better at protecting the rim than they were elsewhere. Meanwhile, they were the worst team in the league at defending the three-point line, allowing opponents to shoot 38.8% on 34.4 three-point attempts per game. So when we recognize that the Warriors are going to have to use this offseason to improve the defense, because just returning Klay Thompson and Steph Curry is not going to be enough, that's going to get your offense back into the top half of the league, it will not get your defense back into the top half of the league. So it is going to be paramount this offseason to acquire high-level impact defenders. Asking James Wiseman to do that as a rookie is not fair, and it should not be expected. That said, there are wing defenders in this draft, if you're going to go that route, who can make an impact in year one. I think somebody like Tyrese Halliburton can certainly help at the point of attack. Devin Vassell out of Florida State. Isaac Okoro out of Auburn, if you're willing to live with the shortcomings on offense. These are guys who can help right away to Golden State's perimeter defense. So whether you look at what they need to do in the draft or what they need to do in the offseason, it's going to be by focusing on wings, on focusing on guys who can improve the perimeter defense overall. Wiseman's not going to be able to do that. I think you need to use your resources efficiently. And I don't think by drafting a traditional center, that makes much sense. Okay. Our next question comes from: a lot of Warriors rumor targets and trades in the draft are going to be poor defenders, at least initially. Does that worry you at all given the current roster, or is there still a way to make it work? Going back to the sort of the last question, when you see rumored targets, when you see names in connection with the Warriors, ask yourself if that player helps improve the Warriors' defense immediately. If that player doesn't, I don't really see him as a realistic option for Golden State. Okay, now when we're starting to get with random free agents, maybe even MLE targets and things like that, you could argue that maybe, you know, at that point, it's not as important. But when you look at guys in the draft, when you look at guys that they're looking to acquire with the TPE and things like that, those are guys that are going to need to improve the defense, most certainly. And look, the Warriors know that. All right, all these defensive stats, all these things that I'm telling you, they know this stuff. All right, this isn't my opinion. Okay, they recognize that the defense needs to improve, and the only way it's going to improve is not by counting on natural development from guys like Eric Paschal, Marquise Chris, and Andrew Wiggins. Improvement for those guys will help, but it's not going to be enough to get it back to a championship-caliber defense, and that is really the goal here, right? It's not to improve the defense from 25th to 15th. It's to go from 25th to a top 10 defense. That's really hard with the players you already have, even with getting Steph and Klay back. They're going to have to get new players, is what I'm saying. And those players are going to have to be good on defense. Who would you rather have for the TPE, Kelly Oubre or Josh Richardson? That question comes from Carl Chan. I would rather, look, before they acquired Andrew Wiggins, I would have said Kelly Oubre. But after acquiring Andrew Wiggins, I'm going with Josh Richardson. To me, Josh Richardson is probably the top guy you could get with the TPE. All right, I don't know that guys like Miles Turner or Aaron Gordon are realistic targets, okay? So with that considered, at least with the TPE, so I do think, though, that Josh Richardson is a possibility. It's a little bit of a pipe dream, but it could be a possibility if Philadelphia does blow it up this offseason. They try to get under the cap or create at least a lot more cap space than they do or some salary relief. They're going to have one of the highest payrolls in the league next year, up there with the Warriors, in fact. So if they look to blow things up, you know, moving Josh Richardson into another team's cap space makes a lot of sense, especially if they can get some draft capital back in return, which the Warriors have, whether it be this pick or a future pick or something like that. You could see him easily sliding in at the 2 or the 3 next to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. He's got this reputation, and it's an earned one, of being a lockdown wing defender. He can shoot threes. He can handle the ball. I mean, this is more than just a 3-and-D guy, right? He's not a standstill shooter like Robert Covington. He can handle the ball. He can do stuff for you. In his last season in Miami, he averaged more than 4 assists per game. So we're talking about somebody who could really kind of recreate that Andre Iguodala role. So you could bring him off the bench. You can unlock a lot of interesting lineups and do some interesting things, whereas Kelly Oubre is a talented scorer, no doubt, but isn't much of a ball mover, not a great defender. Can't really do a whole lot other than get points. And the Warriors are hoping that they'll be okay with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Andrew Wiggins getting points. Eric Paschal, he's a bucket getter. Okay, you've got enough of those guys, I think, that you don't need Oubre. And it's unclear whether or not Oubre or Wiggins would be willing to come off the bench. And you can't play them at the forward spots with Draymond Green at center because you're giving up too much size. That said, I think with Richardson, you can bring him off the bench pretty easily. And have some really interesting lineups and sort of, like I said, recreate that Andre Iguodala role. We'll wrap up our mailbag next here on Locked On Warriors.
Let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. That's a long time. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low without the markup you'd find at traditional chain stores. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If a medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it.
Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA.
If you haven't subscribed to Locked On Warriors already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button. This next question comes from Robert Hilches. I think I'm saying that right. If the Warriors want to win now, why don't they draft Obi Toppin? Play Draymond at the five. Toppin is a great scorer and shooter from three. Just has to learn to play hard on defense. I like Obi Toppin, okay? I like him as an immediate contributor. This is a guy who, you know, you talk about a John Collins skill set. If you're the Warriors and you don't want to trade stuff for John Collins, but you want that skill set, just draft Obi Toppin. They're the same age. They have a very similar skill set. Obi Toppin can space the floor from three-point range. He's an incredibly talented scorer and a great rebounder. Incredibly athletic. He's going to finish with awesome dunks at the rim. You could easily picture Steph and Draymond lobbing dunks up to him and him finishing with a high rate. The question, like with John Collins, is what he could do defensively. Now, scouts and draft analysts tend to believe that Obi Toppin, because he has such great feel on offense, is going to come around on defense. It's just going to take working at an NBA level, working with NBA trainers, loosening up his hips, getting him to move quickly, more quickly laterally. Those are things that you can improve. That's not set in stone. You can get better at those things. I think that Toppin will get better at those things. But if you're going to draft him at number two, that's a pretty big bet, and I just don't know at 22 years old if he's got much of a higher ceiling. I don't know that he's going to ever be an elite defender. I don't know, I'm really sure how much better he's going to get on offense. Is he going to be a guy you can create with the ball in his hands? I don't think so. All right, he might top out at best as a third scorer on offense, which isn't a bad player to have, but if you're drafting number two overall, you'd like to get something better if a guy like Anthony Edwards is on the board, Devin Vassell, Tyrese Haliburton, guys who project to be maybe a primary or secondary scorer, and the Warriors want to find that in this draft. So Obi Toppin may be an option if you trade down, but I think you're giving up a little bit too much immediately on defense. He's a little bit redundant with Eric Paschal, and I just don't know what his ceiling is. And to me, that's a big question. If the Warriors, you want to maximize the opportunity here that you have. All right, final question comes from Stephon Curry on Twitter. Not the Steph Curry, but just another one. If you can only keep two, who do you keep? Kai Bowman, Michael Mulder, Juan Toscano-Anderson, or Alan Smailagić? This is a really good question, and it's one I think the Warriors are going to have to ask themselves. I think at most you have room for two of these guys on the roster next year, and you could take the other two and maybe just convert them. You can waive them and then convert them to your two-way contracts. Okay, now, if I had to pick, it's pretty easy for me. Michael Mulder, easily the number one guy, three-point shooter, impressed enough defensively at the end of the season that you'd like what you see there, and he projects as maybe a 3-and-D guy. You'd like to have him coming off your bench. The Warriors are going to need to have three-point shooting next year. Michael Mulder is going to be a good guy to have. The other guy I like, actually, is Juan Toscano-Anderson, only because he's a versatile body enough. You could play both forward positions. He's big. He's a good rebounder. He just does these in-between dirty work things that you'd like to have out of your 15th guy on the roster. And if you're short on wings, the last thing you want to do is have to play an undersized guard like Kai Bowman or Michael Mulder in that position. If what you need is a forward, if you're dealing with injuries, who knows what Andrew Wiggins is going to have to deal with? Who knows what Draymond Green is going to have to deal with next year? This is not a team currently constructed that is deep with forwards. And so you'd like to keep one in reserve in a break in case of emergency type, where if you're shorthanded, you at least have the right body available. And so you keep one guard in Michael Mulder who can stretch the floor, and you keep a forward in Juan Toscano-Anderson who can just help facilitate certain lineups that you may need in the dog days of the regular season. Kai Bowman, Alan Smailagić are actually the guys that are going to be hardest of those four to get rid of. You're going to have to waive Smailagić and Bowman. Who knows what would happen on the waiver wire there, but you would like to at least convert those guys back to two-way contracts. Now, Bowman would not be happy about that, right? Him and his agent told teams going into the draft that he is not going to sign a two-way contract. Now, ultimately, he did with Golden State, but it was eventually converted to a regular roster spot. I don't think that his agent would appreciate having to take a step back. And so you run the risk of having to let Bowman go completely which, you know, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I think the Warriors generally like what they see, and they'd like to at least keep him around. So maybe you do something where you keep Kai Bowman on the roster, you move Mulder to a two-way contract who may be a little bit more amenable to doing something like that. In the case of Smiley Geach, the Warriors need help at center. They're going to add at least one, maybe even two centers this year. That's not going to leave much room for Smiley Geach, which means he's going to be developing in Santa Cruz, which is where he ought to be right now. But if you're the Warriors and you're trying to make the most of a championship window, can you really afford to use a roster spot on a guy who's developing in the G League? I don't know the answer to that, but I would guess no. And so do you try to trade Smiley Geach? Or do you just release him completely and hope that you're able to just bring him back to your G League program? These are going to be questions that they're going to have to figure out. It's not going to be easy for them. All right, that's it for the mailbag. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's show. As always, you can send your mailbag questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.